This ancient Celtic rune is a hospitality rune. I had chosen this before the events of this week, but it is still powerful and may somehow tie in to the moment in our history. We saw a stranger yesterday. We put food in the eating place, drink in the drinking place, music in the listening place, and with the sacred name of the triune God, he blessed us and our house, our cattle, and our dear ones. As the lark says in her song, often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise.
Amen. Amen.
You're up here. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It is good to be here. It's been a while since I've been with you. I had a regular sermon prepared for you. Regular under, surrounded by quotes. Those of you who know me know that I like to have a lot of fun. I like to joke around. People even accuse me of having a sense of humor. I think I'm full of goodwill and love and affection. It's hard for me to look at these little youngsters of yours and not think of my three grandchildren, this big and this big and this big. I have prepared this regular sermon because I wanted to share with you what I have seen of your faith and ministry journey over the years since I've been here in the Central Pacific Conference. I wanted to celebrate that by commending you and by challenging you to even more powerful ministry and by sharing my exuberant joy and thanksgiving at the faith and power of your calling. However, I am quite sure I cannot overcome the intensity of this week. The feeling of despair, the agony, the disappointment and sadness over this continued killings of innocent students, family, and friends. How long can we abide the insanity and proliferation of gun violence in our nation? Friday night, there was a vigil, and I saw it on your website. Thank you for that. It was beautifully done. Many voices were shared. Most were family survivors of killings. All called for sane gun safety laws, such as extensive background checks. If you recall, the last time this came before the Senate, the vote was 54 for the measure and 46 against. Unfortunately, they needed a supermajority of 60 votes. They couldn't get that. They called for the barring of automatic weapons, for the development of mental health programs that would actually reach out to these young people, education, research, all called for hope and action. I forgot to bring a button that I got at that vigil. The big button that said, Moms Demand Action for Safe Gun Laws. And when I talked to the women who were there, the moms, these women were moms of, were surviving moms, I said, is it possible to put Grandfather Demand Action? I look at my three little children. I don't want them ever to have to face what those children in Umpqua and others across this country have faced over the last several decades. They said, of course, you can put grandparents. And I was going to tape it, but I forgot. But it is there. This was encouraging. People that came to express their sadness. And yet, these moms were saying, along with President Obama, prayers and condolences are not enough. Are not enough. How often have we prayed and extended condolences across the country? Not just for mass killings, of which there have been more this year than there are days in the calendar today. How many times have we sent condolences? How many times have we offered prayers? And being a pastor, that's one of the first things that comes out of my mouth. I'm praying for you. Most people receive that very graciously and thankfully. But as President Obama said, over and over and over, it loses its ability to touch. Now, I checked the nonprofit regulations, and I can tell you that I can use President Obama's name in church. Okay? You won't lose your tax nonprofit status by saying that I totally commend to you the words that he used that evening after the shootings. Powerful. Never had the president of this country ever shared that passion, that despair, that anger, and yet that challenge and hope. Wow. Would we have the courage to do the same wherever we are in positions of leadership or fellowship? One woman who lost her brother said that the reason the word demand is there is because we requested, we pleaded, we lobbied. We've been very nice. The response has been minimal. So it's time to demand of our political leadership, change the gun safety laws so it'll protect our country, so it'll protect our families and our children. Demand it. Some of them are saying no longer will they vote for anybody. What are the parties? Democratic, Republican, independent, whatever. They will never vote for anybody that does not include a sane understanding of gun safety laws in this country. And you know what? She convinced me that that is one of the most incredible and critical health problems in this country. The person spoke from Gun Owners for Responsible Use of Weapons. And he cried from the podium because he felt that the whole gun situation had been taken over by a few people with horrific political agendas and were totally misrepresenting what the sport of hunting is, what target shooting is, what all those things that responsible gun owners use. He was crying because he did not have enough power. He and his people did not have enough power to overthrow $50 billion of lobbying every year against gun safety in this country. It is no longer a question of holding different opinions or different perspectives. I'm sorry. I'm not a hunter. I grew up in Southern California. You know, there's nothing to hunt there. I don't understand the sport of hunting, but I respect those who do. I have trouble fishing. So, it is not a question of trying to look at the Second Amendment and make it fit into our modern context. because I've researched it very, very intensely before I got here. And the Second Amendment does not say what the gun-loving NRA people say it does. It does not say that. But they've used a very good tactic. They use what we biblical people use, too. You know, we can take a piece of scripture and turn it into anything we want it to say. And they're very good at it, too. Now, I know that not all NRA people are that way. So I don't want to paint the brush across that. But I do know that the official sites do express this perspective. Well, I want to believe that Jesus has been on his way walking towards Umpqua Community College. And isn't it interesting for us that it's UCC? When I saw that, it sort of threw me back. UCC? Wait a minute. I thought it was a community college. Well, I don't like to make too much of that, but it is a call to the UCC and to every other group of faith in this country. I want to believe that Jesus cannot stand this any longer, that he's weeping over these deaths. I believe that Jesus is calling us to say no more. No more. And we have the capability of doing that, friend, if we dare to engage in the public square and demand gun safety laws, demand to change the culture in the country. The most advanced country in the world has the worst rate of homicides in the world. We come in like 100, I forgot the number. Britain has stringent gun laws. They don't have 1% of the mass shootings that we do. Australia, which was founded by convicts, for goodness sake, they have powerful gun safety laws, and they're number one in safety of their communities when it comes to gun shootings and killing. And here we are, the most advanced country in the world, and we don't even know how to keep our children safe from one another. By the way, you can get a hook and grab me out of the pulpit anytime you want. Because I know you're used to 20-minute sermons. And I'm used to preaching 45-minute sermons. Well, we need the power of the love of Christ at this moment. We need the healing touch of Christ. We need the compelling power of the Spirit of God to come and overwhelm us in such a way that we will join our good hearts, our generous hearts, and our goodwill with hundreds of thousands of others across this country demanding the end of gun violence. It will take people of faith and people of justice to give voice to this demand. We must end this insanity. That was the prefix? How do you say that?
Preface
to my sermon. Now the sermon that I wanted to share with you begins. If you noticed, I used the terms impertinent and inopportune as the title for this message. I don't know if you know what that means. But when I thought of Vancouver, and by the way, you are one of my failures. Let me tell you why. Because when I began work in 1996 as the conference minister of the Central Pacific Conference, I made a promise to myself that I would eliminate from all church names, either evangelical and reform or congregational, from their names. Because we are neither. We are the United Church of Christ. And as I drove up into this beautiful, beautiful church, what did I see staring me in the face? Vancouver First Congregational Church. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what I want to share with you. But I'm being impertinent now. I believe these terms will help us walk through this journey the next days and weeks and months and years ahead when it comes to making our country safe. As many have said, there's no one simple answer to it. It's going to take a lot of different approaches, a lot of different people thinking. But I think impertinence and inopportunity are going to be required. Now, those of you who don't know what impertinence says, raise your hand. Only one of you? Or two, three honest people. How about inopportune? Yeah, you know what that is. Okay. Well, the reason I bring these up is these are scriptural values. Because we find in Scripture, particularly in the Gospel, over and over, impertinent people speaking at inopportune times. Particularly to Jesus. How dare they speak that way to my Lord and Savior? Huh? Bartimaeus is one of them, but there's others. Remember the woman who wouldn't give up when the person said the children have to be fed? And she said, well, even the dogs under the table will eat the crumbs. Persistent. Inopportune means that this is not the time. Come on, I came to church to worship and hear this beautiful choir, beautiful music, and enjoy my children. I didn't come here to listen about no gun safety. You are being totally inopportune, Lopez. Get the hook right now. Well, I think there's a lot of inopportunity taking place across this country right now at this hour. And impertinent, because I know you know how to be impertinent, because that's the way you've been in your mission. You've been stubborn in your mission. You've been incredibly stubborn in your mission. Demanding, insistent, shameless even, as you seek out the mission that God has called you to do. And occasionally, you've been rude. Okay? Because you know that doing the right thing sometimes means that someone's going to be offended. But doing right allows you to be rude. Not ungraciously, you can be graciously rude. Inappropriate, inconvenient, untimely, not on the agenda. We don't talk about those things in church. Where else are we going to talk about it? Where else are we going to talk about it? Now, in case you still don't understand this, let me talk about you, because that's really what I wanted to do today. I'm going to be very direct. And although you have encountered some of the Northwest bumps and potholes in your journey of faith, you continue to be powerful and faithful agents of transformation and new life in your church, in your community, and across the world. You are alive, serving God, serving one another, serving the community, serving the world. You are well and spiritually impertinent. You are generous in your outreach and in your fellowship. You are a holy place where healing takes place. The community around you, both sides of the river, knows that Vancouver United Church of Christ is a place where one can find wholeness, peace, and love. I did a little bit of homework, and over the years, you've done incredible stuff. Incredible stuff. One of the first ones to be open and affirming, Just Peace. You participate every year in the Just Peace Fair. You care about the environment. You hosted a regional convocation that got your pastor a job in Cleveland. You partner with MCC of the Gentle Shepherd. I'm going to have to go preach to them. Are they downstairs right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to have to tell them that right now we don't need a gentle shepherd. We need a demanding shepherd.
Yes.
So
Amen.
Will you wait while I go talk to them?
Preach it.
Your youth ministry is incredible. I watched you over the years and how you even your Christian education program, growing in faith, you're modeling out for them what it means to live out the gospel in justice and in fairness and equity. That's marvelous. That's marvelous. I've run into some of your children at Camp Adams. Wow. You've done a good job and are doing a good job. Your adult education, oh, my gosh, I wish I could take Bible 101.
Yeah.
I need it, but I'm too old. I'm retired. Too late for me, but not for you. You even had Arun Gandhi here, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some of us didn't know about it till after he was gone. Mm-hmm. Or we would have been here with you. Well, you are a great congregation. And you know what makes great pastors? Great congregation.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Great congregation. Amen. Farley Maxwell would not be Farley Maxwell if it hadn't been for you. Mm-hmm. Ed Evans would not have been Ed Evans if it hadn't been for you. Brooks, what's his last name?
Burnt.
Would not be enjoying Cleveland in 35-degree weather right now if it hadn't been for you. On the other hand, you wouldn't be who you are without your partnership and with these incredible leaders. You're an amazing church. And where once Jesus said to you, what would you have me do for you, just like he asked Bartimaeus, Jesus is now saying, what will you do for me? What will you do for my people? I know you are so convicted and so committed to nurturing and loving and caring for the world around you. But here's another call, a critical one. One in which we as a church have not joined across the country our voices together, our actions together to change gun safety laws. I believe that this is the gospel call. I believe that we are not meant to have one more incident happen, that we don't want to have another vigil. We don't want to have to read another letter from the pulpit. We don't want President Obama to once more come and address us. We don't want to see the media covering these incidents anymore. Well, Jesus is calling and depending upon your impertinence and your inopportunity so that your people, your community, your political leadership hear your demand. The Umpquas of our nation are calling all of us, saying, please help. End this nonsense, this insanity. Well, you continue to choose to follow the path of Christ. And Jesus continues to choose you as his people. Choose us. And you, being as stubborn as always, will find a way to respond in powerful, meaningful ways. You know well that God loves you and embraces you and showers you with grace. You know the love of Jesus, who affectionately guides you on your pathway And you know the power of the Holy Spirit as it has filled you in your church, your pastor, your young people, and will now lead you into even newer and miraculous ministry. So that Jesus now says to you and to us, go. Our faith, our impertinence, our inopportunity have prepared us for this new journey of faith in ministry and gun violence.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we...